A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's got a whole thing this week about heads-up displays for the car. His dashboard tablet has become basically useless for navigation. It thermal throttles in the Israeli heat and can't run Google Maps or Waze anymore. His first thought was to replace it with a higher-spec tablet that could handle the temperatures. But then he started wondering about heads-up displays instead. He knows some models link up with your phone, which appeals to him because both he and Anna have decent Android phones. He's heard there are a couple of different approaches, so he wants us to look at what those actually are. His driving style is minimal. He finds Waze too noisy with all the notifications, prefers Google Maps for its simpler interface. He wants lane guidance, turn notifications, and the only other thing he does with the phone while driving is queue up a podcast, usually this one. He uses voice-to-text for hands-free interaction, and Israel is very sunny and bright for much of the year. So his question is, which HUD models would actually fit what he's looking for, or is he better off just sticking with the tablet option?
The thing about this question is that the word HUD has become almost meaningless in the aftermarket. It now covers a $20 speed projector that plugs into the OBD port, a $280 phone mirroring unit, and a $250 standalone Android tablet with a suction cup mount. Those are three completely different products that happen to share a marketing term.
And Daniel's searching for one category while the market has quietly built the answer in a different one. That's the part I want to untangle first, because if he buys what's literally sold as a HUD, he's probably going to be disappointed.
The core problem in his car is hardware, not software. His tablet thermal throttles. No software update fixes a chip that overheats in a Jerusalem summer. So whatever replaces it either needs to offload the processing somewhere cooler, or it needs to be built for dashboard duty from the start.
And the car itself is fine, presumably. The engine works, the air conditioning works. It's just the infotainment that's given up.
Right. So there are two product families that answer this. True projection. HUDs put a small amount of data in your line of sight, speed, arrows, turn cues. Portable CarPlay and Android Auto screens are essentially standalone dashboard displays that run the full Google Maps interface. They get called HUDs by a lot of sellers, but they're not projecting anything. They're just screens.
And Daniel's actual need, Google Maps with minimal information, might be better served by the screen category than by anything sold as a HUD. Because the HUD's native view doesn't even show maps.
That's the reframe. His question was which HUD models fit, but the honest answer might be that the category he actually wants is the portable screen, and it's matured a lot in the last couple of years.
So let's trace this properly. First, what the HUD category actually offers and why it fails his core need. Then, how the portable screen category has quietly become the mainstream answer. And then what the sunny climate and minimal information requirements do to the decision.
And I have a feeling there's a field report coming later that complicates the heat question in a way none of the spec sheets cover.
Start with the true HUDs. What's the landscape actually look like?
Tom's Guide updated their buying guide in January of 2025, and they frame it as a spectrum. Most HUDs just repeat dashboard data, speed, RPM, that kind of thing. The rarest options connect to your smartphone and display turn-by-turn navigation. And at the very top, there are HUDs that offer Android Auto or Apple CarPlay support. So the category tiers roughly by how much phone integration you get.
And the standout phone link model is still the HUDway Drive. It's been around for years now.
$279. It combines OBD2 data, GPS, and phone data. It mirrors any navigation app over Wi-Fi, shows turn-by-turn directions, notifications from more than 10 messaging apps, and OBD data. Tom's Guide gave it Editor's Choice back in 2022 and called it the most sophisticated add-on heads-up display available.
But here's the first thing that jumps out at me. It has no GPS module of its own. It relies entirely on the phone's location. So if the phone dies or loses signal, the HUD is blind.
Correct. Hudway's own site says it won't work without your smartphone, which is fine for Daniel. He has decent Android phones. But it's worth knowing that the $280 device is essentially a display with some smarts, not a navigation computer.
And the display itself is tiny. 1.8 inches?
1.8 inches. 480 by 240 resolution. But here's the trick. It projects a virtual image that appears to be about 10.3 inches at a viewing distance of 2.5 meters. So your eye sees a much larger image than the physical screen. That's the whole point of a HUD.
And the brightness claim is where it gets interesting for Israel. Tom's guide measured 17,000 nits.
17,000 nits. For comparison, an iPhone 13 in the same testing was roughly 795 nits. So the drive is, on paper, absurdly bright. Tom's guide said it can keep up with the sunniest day on the road and still works with polarized sunglasses.
But Hudway's own spec sheet lists 12,000 nits for the same display.
A 40% discrepancy. And for a buyer in Israel, that gap matters. 12,000 nits is still very bright, don't get me wrong. But if you're buying specifically because you need maximum visibility and direct sunlight, you want to know whether you're getting 17,000 or 12,000. And nobody seems to have resolved that in recent testing.
So, the headline brightness number is contested. That's a caution flag before we even get to the bigger problem.
The bigger problem is the mirroring catch, 22. Here's the thing. The Dry's native navigation view doesn't show maps. It shows street-by-street directions, speed, and time to destination. And Tom's guide noted it sometimes truncates directions that are too long. So if a turn instruction is wordy, you just don't see all of it.
Wait, so the navigation view on a navigation HUD doesn't show a map?
Correct. It shows text and arrows. To get full Google Maps, you have to use mirroring mode, which mirrors the phone screen one-to-one, so your phone's entire display appears on the HUD.
Which means every notification that hits the phone also appears on the HUD.
Hudway's own FAQ confirms this. Mirroring is a full-screen mirror, so Daniel, who finds Waze too noisy and wants minimal information, would be trading Waze's notification clutter for his phone's notification clutter. A WhatsApp message from a group chat, a calendar reminder, whatever. It all shows up.
And this is the same company whose marketing says, quote, "Too much information is still too much information, even on a HUD."
That's the line from their own site. They understand the minimal information argument. But the only way to get the map view Daniel actually wants is to use the mode that reintroduces exactly the clutter he's trying to escape.
So the HUD's native mode is minimal but mapless, and the map mode is maximal and cluttered. There's no middle setting.
Not on the drive, no. And the mirroring reliability is itself contested. Tom's guide and Hudway's marketing praise it. But there's a critical App Store review of the Drive app that claims iPhone mirroring isn't supported at all, that it uses a form of screen recording and doesn't work very well. That's one review, but there's no independent retest from 2025 or 2026 to resolve it. Most of the coverage is from 2021 and 2022.
So the flagship phone-linked HUD is 4 years old in its review cycle, has a disputed brightness spec, and its core feature for getting maps is unreliable on at least one platform. That's not a great position for the category.
And the category appears to have stalled. The NAVDI was a 2015-era phone-linked HUD pioneer. It's defunct. No major new entrant showed up in the 2025 to 2026 coverage I could find. The HUD market seems to have decided that the projection approach is a niche.
Which brings us to the other side of the market. The portable screens that have quietly become the answer Daniel is actually looking for.
This is where it gets interesting. Car and Driver, Motor Trend, and Road and Track all published tested roundups of portable CarPlay screens for 2026. That's not a niche blog category anymore. That's the mainstream automotive press treating these as a real product family.
And the basic architecture solves Daniel's thermal problem immediately. These screens run Android Auto or CarPlay wirelessly off the phone. The screen is just a display and a radio.
So his decent Android phone becomes the navigation computer, and the phone sits in the cabin, probably in a mount or in his pocket, where it's not baking on the dashboard. The screen on the dash is doing far less processing than a standalone tablet would.
And the models are getting good. The Autocast Autoscreen AI is an 11.4-inch panel running standalone Android 15 with an 8-core processor and 4 gigs of RAM. That one doesn't even need the phone. It's a full Android device.
But that's the distinction within the category. Some are standalone Android tablets. The Autocast, the Lamp 2 RC32, those can run apps on their own. Others are pure phone mirrors, the CarPod Go, the Ouchi. And the phone-linked ones are the better match for Daniel's stated preference. He said he wants to leverage his decent Android phones.
And the prices are all over the place. The Ouchi V30 is 10.26 inches at $199. The Car Tablet Pro Max is 10 inches and has been on sale for around $100. The Lamp 2 RC32 is 11 inches at $249 on sale. So you're looking at a range from about $100 to $250 for a mature, tested product.
And the brightness question, which is Daniel's real concern, the Road and Track Roundup specifically describes these screens as bright and responsive, with enough clarity to make navigation and menus easy to read at a glance, even in direct sunlight. The CarPod Geo Mini is rated at 1,000 nits, which sounds low compared to the Hudway's claimed 17,000, but it's a different display technology. A direct view LCD at 1,000 nits in a shaded mount can be perfectly readable in bright conditions. The HUD needs absurd brightness because it's projecting through a combiner and competing with the sky.
That's the thing people get wrong about the brightness numbers. A projection HUD needs 5 figures of nits to punch through sunlight. A direct view screen in a hooded mount doesn't. So comparing 17,000 nits to 1,000 nits isn't apples to apples.
Right. The HUD is fighting the sun directly. The screen is sitting in a little cowl or mount that provides some shade, and your eye is looking at the panel itself, not a reflection.
The heat question for the portable screens. You said there's no dedicated testing of thermal throttling in hot climates.
I couldn't find any 2026 coverage specifically testing dashboard thermal throttling. That's a gap in the literature. But the inference is reasonable. These devices are designed for dashboard duty, and the phone-linked ones offload processing to the phone, which stays cooler in the cabin. I want to be clear, that's inference from product positioning, not a sourced test result.
We're saying the category probably handles heat better, but nobody's actually measured it. That's worth flagging for Daniel, because he's the one who'd be buying on that inference.
The minimal information fit is where the portable screen really wins for him. A portable CarPlay screen running Android Auto gives him native Google Maps with lane guidance and turn notifications. No mirroring needed. No notification clutter from the phone. Android Auto's whole interface is designed for minimal, glanceable information. Big turn arrows, the next street name, distance to the turn, and that's mostly it.
His podcast queuing works through Android Auto too. Voice to text, hands-free, the whole thing. So the screen doesn't just solve navigation, it solves the entire in-car phone interaction model.
His use case is almost tailor-made for Android Auto. He wants Google Maps, not Waze. He wants lane guidance and turn notifications. He wants to cue podcasts by voice. That's the Android Auto feature set, full stop.
The verdict shape is becoming clear. For Daniel's specific needs, the portable CarPlay screen category is the better fit than the true HUD category. The HUD's native view doesn't show maps, and mirroring reintroduces clutter.
But the HUD isn't worthless. If Daniel wanted only speed, arrows, and turn cues without maps, the HUDway Drive's native view would be ideal. The question is whether he wants maps or just directions.
He said Google Maps. He said lane guidance. Lane guidance implies seeing the lanes on a map, not just an arrow telling you to turn, so he wants maps.
Which means the HUD's native mode fails him, and the HUD's mirroring mode fights his minimalism. The portable screen gives him exactly what he asked for with no catch.
But there's a wrinkle we haven't touched. The heat problem isn't just about chips and brightness. There's a physical mounting question.
A device sitting on the dashboard in Israeli summer heat, even if it's not processing much, is still absorbing direct sunlight. The screen itself gets hot. The adhesive on the mount gets hot. The suction cup gets hot.
Nobody in the review roundups is testing what happens to a suction cup mount after 3 hours at 40 degrees Celsius on a black dashboard.
That's exactly the kind of thing that only shows up in real use, months after the review is published.
They all fall off.
What?
The mounts. I drove for a startup in Tel Aviv in 2019. Fleet delivery. They promised fleet-grade navigation for the Middle East. Outfitted the vans with early Hudway units and cheap dashboard tablets. Both failed in the Israeli summer. The tablets would throttle within 20 minutes of the morning shift. Screens dimming, maps stuttering. The Hudway units baked on the dash until the adhesive mounts gave out. I watched one fall off the windshield mid-drive in August heat. Landed on the gear shift.
The heat isn't just a brightness problem, it's a physical mounting problem.
Nobody tests for it. The reviews are all done in a driveway or a parking garage, not in a van that's been sitting in the sun since 6 in the morning.
What did the startup do about it?
Mounted the tablets on the dashboard vents, the air conditioning blowing directly on the back of the device. Kept them cool enough to run. I don't know if that's a design insight or just desperation, but it was the only thing that worked.
That's actually a real principle. Active airflow over the back of a device does more for thermal management than any passive heatsink. And in a car, the vent air is already conditioned. It's free cooling.
The Hudway units we couldn't save. The adhesive would soften and the whole thing would slide down the windshield, leaving a smear. By the end of the summer, most of the vans were running the tablets on the vents, and the HUDs were in a box in the office.
The field report says thermal management is about airflow and mounting, not just specs. A device with a great thermal spec still fails if the mount gives out.
The spec sheet doesn't mention that the adhesive melts at 45 degrees. It just says the operating range goes up to 60.
The operating range on the Hudway drive is minus 20 to plus 60 Celsius. But that's the electronics. The adhesive is a different material with a different failure point.
We tried zip ties. Looked terrible. But the vent mount was the real fix for the tablets. The HUDs we just gave up on.
If Daniel goes the portable screen route, he should think about where the screen sits and whether air can get to the back of it. A vent mount might be the difference between a device that works all summer and one that throttles by mid-morning.
That's the kind of thing that never shows up in a buying guide. The Road and Track Roundup says bright and responsive in direct sunlight. It doesn't say what happens after 3 hours of direct sunlight on a 40-degree day.
The startup folded anyway. Not because of the navigation. The economics didn't work. But I kept the vent mount trick.
It's a good trick. And it reframes the heat question. Daniel's original concern was thermal throttling in the tablet. The answer might not be a different device. It might be a different mounting position.
Which is a useful thing to know. Because the portable screens are designed for dashboard duty, but dashboard duty in Israel means something specific. It means the device is going to sit in a solar oven for hours.
Where does that leave Daniel's actual decision? He asked which HUD models fit, or should he stick with the tablet option?
The answer is neither, in a way. He shouldn't buy a HUD because the HUD's native view doesn't show maps and the mirroring mode reintroduces clutter. And he shouldn't stick with the tablet replacement as he originally imagined it because the portable CarPlay screen category has already solved the problem better than a standalone tablet would.
A standalone tablet running Google Maps is doing all the processing itself, on the dash, in the heat. That's the thermal throttling problem all over again. The phone-linked portable screen offloads that processing to the phone, which is in the cabin, not on the dash.
The phone is a device Daniel already owns and likes. His decent Android phone becomes the navigation computer. The screen is just a display.
The specific recommendation would be something like the CarPod Go T3 Pro. 8.9 inches, wireless CarPlay and Android Auto, phone-linked, not standalone. Or the Alchi V30 at 10.26 inches for $199. Both of those match his stated preference for leveraging the phone.
If he wants to hedge, the Lamp2RC32 is standalone Android with Google Play, so it can run apps on its own if the phone connection ever fails. But it's more expensive and it's doing its own processing, so the heat question comes back.
The CarPod Geo Mini is another option. 6.9 inches, 1,000 nits, 131 grams. That's tiny and light, which means a vent mount would hold it easily.
The vent mount solves the Hilbert problem. If the screen is on the vents, the air conditioning is actively cooling the back of the device. That's the field-tested solution.
The practical advice is, buy a phone-linked portable CarPlay screen. Mount it on the vents, run Android Auto with Google Maps, and cue the podcast by voice. That's the whole setup.
The total cost is between $100 and $250, which is less than the Hudway drive, and it actually shows maps.
The HUD category isn't dead, but it's stalled. The NavD is gone. The Hudway drive hasn't had a meaningful update in years. The portable screen category is where the investment and the testing has gone.
That's the market signal. When Car and Driver, Motor Trend, and Road and Track all publish tested roundups of a product category in the same year, that category has arrived. The HUD category never got that treatment.
The misconception here is that all HUDs are the same category. Daniel has been searching for heads-up displays, and the search results are showing him a $20 speed projector, a $280 phone mirror, and a $250 Android tablet with a suction cup. Those are three different products.
The one that actually matches his needs is the one that isn't really a HUD at all. It's a portable screen. The marketing term is misleading him.
The correction is, a HUD won't give you full Google Maps. The native view is text and arrows. Full maps require mirroring, which also mirrors notifications. The portable screen gives you native Google Maps through Android Auto with no mirroring and no clutter.
Brighter isn't always better. The 17,000 nit claim on the HUDway Drive is contested, and the portable screens achieve readability at 1,000 nits through a different display technology. The number isn't the whole story.
The open question is whether the HUD category will ever recover. Will a new generation of phone-linked HUDs emerge, or has the portable screen category permanently absorbed the navigation use case?
As phones get brighter and Android Auto gets better, the portable screen category might make the whole replace the head unit problem obsolete. Why buy a new head unit when a $100 screen and the phone in your pocket does everything?
Daniel's real question wasn't HUD versus tablet. It was whether the market has a mature solution for cars with underpowered infotainment. It does. It just isn't sold as a HUD.
That's the thing to sit with. The category confusion is the story. The product recommendation is almost secondary.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing, and for the vent mount tip, which is the most useful thing anyone said about car thermals in a long time.
This has been My Weird Props, the Human AI Collaboration Podcast.
If you've got a question about car tech or anything else, email us at show@myweirdproms.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Props, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird props, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird props, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.